evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Thunder Metal Reviews, newly on IMDb, and we don't know how it happened. With me, as always, also on IMDb, are Ben, Tracy, and Gabe. How are you gentlemen this fine evening?
Doing pretty good.
Wearing my Castrator t-shirt and hoping for the best.
Accurate.
For sure.
So what had happened was, for this grab bag, I picked Big Dick Cutoff Energy. And Ben said, how would you define that precisely? I'm like, well, I mean, sometimes some artists and some songs just demand all dicks be cut off. And I don't know if I would call that misandrony exactly, but I mean, essentially, I don't know, radical feminist womanist need to murder menery. And none of us had a problem coming up with an album for that, because we will never know the rage of some of these artists who I'm sure have put up with endless bullshit, both pre-artisthood and during. So that's what the category was, and it produced some truly intense albums. One of us decided Converge just needed to keep happening. So I'm beginning to question who exactly is getting the checks from Big Hardcore. Though I don't know how Big Hardcore feels about this particular album. We can talk about that. This one was different, is what I'm going to say. But we'll get to that in a second. So I pick this because I was essentially raised by a scorned member of the Bene Gesserit, in terms of my mother, who from a very early point essentially told me all men were vile scum that needed to be destroyed. And I encountered men thereafter and did not get a lot of evidence that contradicted that injunction. So I will admit I have a specific sort of, and I get it. She had a lot of reasons she felt that way. Every man of consequence in her life had been a piece of shit and had done really horrible things. Indeed, nearly everyone I've ever loved has put up with exactly the sort of, well, any woman period on a certain level has put up with the shit that generated the rage here. So it is a pretty specific, I don't know. We can come up with other rage modes, and indeed have people in the third world wanting to burn shit down, anything with Zach De La Rocha. Like there's some other places we could take this. Dub for cowboy, weird right-wing shit that I don't quite know why they're into. They backed off that on recent albums. Anyway, so that's why I picked this, and people answered the call. Dicks got cut off. My dick fell off in the case of Gabe's pick, which, Jesus. Anyway, I guess let's just jump right in. That's what we do, right? Ben just tells us what Ben picked.
I do. Ben just tells you what Ben picked. It's the theme. And I picked Live Through This, the second studio album by Hole, released on April 12th, 1994. Runtime of 38 minutes and 16 seconds on the DGC label, produced by Paul Q. Coderi and Sean Slade. All at the time of recording was Courtney Love on lead vocals and rhythm guitar, Eric Erlandson on lead guitar, Christina Pfaff on bass and backing vocals and piano, Patty Schmiel on drums. They did have Dana Kletter come in and do some additional vocals, to the surprise of no one. Kurt Cobain also did some backing vocals on this album.
Yep. Christina Pfaff died months after this. Ugh.
Yes.
Of an overdose. So as one does. Mm-hmm. Why did you, I mean, on one level, obvious, but well, in your own words, why would you say, Ben, this is what you went to for Big Dick Cutoff Energy?
Because I think that, and for solid reasons that we will probably never discuss, because I can't imagine that we will ever expand what we do unless we do another grab bag of non-metal stuff at some point.
Sure.
But like the 90s angry woman cliche.
Yes.
Started by Alanis Morissette, nominally. And, you know, and as I think about it, if there was anybody from the greater grunge or grunge adjacent movement who interacted with all the names, Kurt Cobain, obviously, Billy Corgan, ad nauseum at others, and, you know, had to put up with their bullshit as well as the bullshit of the audience.
Yes.
And fans, such as crowd surfing and having all her clothes ripped off. You know, it's Courtney Love. And I will admit that, like, in real time listening to this, like, I thought some of the tracks were cool, and I actually really liked the album after this a whole lot, so we will probably get to that at some point. But, you know, and especially the accusations that she plotted to kill Kurt.
Jesus Christ.
You know, there's a hugely popular Netflix documentary about that very fact. So again, it is like, I think that if Kurt Cobain, for what, and we can argue the merits of this, and I have railed against it myself, is the voice of essentially mine and David's generation than Courtney Cobain as the abused woman of that, the voice of that. And there's plenty of others. I'm not trying to say that she has a singular experience. It is just very unique in the way that when you are the wife of the biggest rock and roll star on the planet and everybody thinks that you are a negative and toxic influence, that it has to be incredibly crippling in a way that maybe only Yoko Ono
I was just
understands.
gonna say massive Yoko vibes. Yeah, grotesque misogyny was thrown at her.
Yeah.
That she didn't write any of her own music, even though she had a career
Right.
before that. I just no, it just unending. I reread some of that shit. I'm like, good God. And I wish it had changed a lot since then. It hasn't. It's not quite like the intensity of it is Gamergate, if Gamergate were
Yeah.
just in the public sphere, completely in the public sphere rather than the blogosphere or Reddit or whatever,
Well, you know, I
4chan.
mean, and we've talked about this offline, if not during episodes, like just the animus expounded towards Beyonce or Taylor Swift.
Indeed.
So,
Rage. Ugh.
yeah. But anyway, that is why I chose this. And this is like probably, I mean, I love L7. I thought about picking an
Sure.
L7 album. And, you know, this is Bikini Kill. Anyway, there's a bunch of other bands that I could have
Oh, yeah.
chosen. But when you gave to me the description of this, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta choose some going on this one.
I'm so good, man. I hadn't heard this in so long. I just, it, again, it, well, I don't listen to that much grunge, honestly. I listened to a ton then. Really, the only one that's Alice in Chains and Soundgarden happen sometime, but most of the rest of it's kind of just, I don't know. It's cool if I hear it come on the radio or whatever, but I don't go like, I'm gonna listen to Smashing Pumpkins. It's not who I am as a person.
No, me either. There's
See
like a
where.
track or two of the Smashing Pumpkins I might listen to, but I would not give a shit about listening to most of their albums.
Sure. I mean, it's all very much a product of its time. It had influences that I do like in other places, but this, I don't know. I'm not going to say surprised. I just basically forgotten how good this album was. And obviously, I'm much more mature than I was at age 17. I
Yeah,
mean,
me
I thought it
too.
was cool then, but I'm like, wow, I didn't know shit. Anyway, I still know shit, but
I mean, I'll do like, and then I'll step out of here and let
yeah,
Gabe and
for
Tracy
sure.
give their thoughts. But like, just the video for Doll Parts, man.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, anyway,
I know,
I
he's
don't think I
breaking
need to
my
say
own
anything
neck.
more. Yeah.
I don't, yeah, you can look it up, viewer, dear viewer. It's on IMDb also, I'm sure, with a trigger warning. Oof. I don't, Tracy, Gabe, is this an album you know? I'm sure you know what it is, but
I knew who Courtney Love was
that's a thing.
somewhat.
That's a start.
You're getting there.
Somewhat. Here's the thing. I knew who she was somewhat because I
You
when,
keep saying that.
well, so I knew she was married to Kurt Cobain, but I came in like my, I guess, social cognizance was 10, 15 years
Well, of course.
after
Yes.
she had already been publicly debated, defaced, and like her story had been written in the public sphere kind of deal of like she was this crazy woman. Like the
Sure.
closest, like I could say, probably. Of my generation that can relate to her is probably Britney Spears to an extent. And so like it's a
Yeah.
very
Dear God.
it's so like I just how like post like two early 2000s like she was judged as like the reason Kurt Cobain died, like, and like that whole public discussion there, like of after the fact, and this is what been determined, like, so this is the story you're told. And that's so like that's a very weird concept to come into her. So I'd never heard anything from her or by her. This is the first time I've really like interacted with any of her music. So it's a very different experience than what you guys had because you lived through the debate and the
Yes.
arguments and stuff. This was a settled fact for me. That's why I mean like somewhat. I had a very curated knowledge of her.
That's worse, man. I mean, I guess he, by then he's got just the narrative rather than watching
Yeah.
I mean,
it
I
happen.
don't
I don't.
re even remember it being much of a d debate.
Me either, honestly. I gotta say,
Yeah.
she was just an evil whore that was ruining the band. I mean, it was just the
Yeah.
Yoko script to sell newspapers, essentially, and magazines. I mean, that's the gross thing. A lot of it, I think. Some of it was just sort of incel-y, hyper-masculine rage, but a lot of it was just,
Tabloidy bullshit.
yes, we need to sell papers or whatever it is we're doing then. Cable news. I mean, it wasn't,
Yeah.
the interweb was only just starting, but
MTV News and just on 24/7 and just like,
yeah.
whatever.
I
Yeah, well,
mean,
and a lot of it too, I think, and you know, at least not from the on the other side of the curtain, so not from the fans, because the fans are especially then, you didn't have the access that you do now. You don't see everything. So that I completely believe, and the part of that was just the media creation to sell things. But she got a lot of shit from other males in the movement that she'd had relationships with. You know, like famously like, again, I'm going to go to a video here, but like famously, I think it's in the Starfuckers Nine Inch Nails video. Like Marilyn Manson is dressed up as her, which is, you know, after learning what we've learned about Marilyn Manson is like another complete thing. But it's just the caustic relationship that she had with ex-lovers. And as somebody who has some ex-lovers, those things can be caustic, but there is just a sense of like, Courtney didn't take their bullshit just because they were rock stars in a way that seemed, anyway, from the outside looking in, to have really offended.
Yes, that's the vibe I get. Wasn't there, but well, this album doesn't take any shit either. Gabe, first time on the ride? Knew it from the radio? Probably the radio. You are muted, unfortunately, and so your words of wisdom are lost to us.
Well, if you'll excuse the pun, you and Ben lived through this, and I didn't really. I mean, I think that, you know, I was listening to grunge at this time. I was listening to Nirvana at this time, but I didn't really have a handle on this. Mm-hmm. So I never heard this record until several years ago. And I did it intentionally just trying to figure out, okay, why do people care about this? And what is there to it? And I definitely had heard of Courtney Love and heard a lot of bad things about her, but I never really thought one way or the other about it, to be honest. I mean, I wasn't attached enough to Kurt Cobain to really care. As in, I got in and basically he died. So
you think that's a coincidence? I don't.
It could have been a coincidence. Right?
Gabe gets in the movement. He dies. I don't think it was Courtney Love. Just saying.
So, you know, I'm not coming into this with any sort of prejudice necessarily. Maybe it's unconscious, but the biggest hurdle for me coming into this was Courtney Love's vocals, which, to put it somewhat kindly, they remind me of Tim Armstrong, but just like badly off key. And it took me about 4 or 5 listens before I came around. I think that some of the writing, as in the lyric writing, is great. There's something about the production on this record that isn't right to me, but I couldn't really figure out what it is. It's somehow not ideal for the kind of music it is. But I also thought, you know, the tracks themselves, like there's a few kind of like where that it takes it real down for me. And I think the sequencing might be off, or maybe they just take some stuff out. But anyway, I think that I could do without some of the more atonal vocal performances, but I like some of this stuff now. And I can see why so many people liked it back then or found it important, because it just gives voice to a lot of things that are universal, sadly, right? About you know, being a, you know, female presenting person in the world. And it's really kind of out there too, because the pop moments on this are really few and far between, you know, and one of them isn't even, you know, Courtney Love's song or whole song, you know? So that's like saying quite a lot. It's kind of bold in that. So you gotta give some respect to that. I think that's really cool. So props to them, you know, props to Courtney Love for putting up with all this nonsense. This is a record that does not fit in a lot of ways with, you know, people's picture of grunge. It's super, super masculine coded and super, like, I don't want to say it's like solely that, but it seems to be dominantly that.
It's very punk, in my opinion, in a way that grunge kind of touches it on. And I've noticed a lot of commenters, especially after the fact, maybe some at the time, but I just didn't hear their voices, calling grunge an offshoot of punk. And I can kind of see that aesthetically, but not necessarily sound wise, definitely in some of the ways that they didn't necessarily care about certain things. But this has a lot of strong punk energy. It does at times read masculine, like Gabe said. Especially, you know, vocally, because she is not, I think on the next album there are moments where she sings very well, but on here they're not. And they leave a lot of like voice cracking and other
on
stuff
purpose.
In here. Yeah.
No, totally. The executives argued with her about that. They're like, take your shit off. And she left it there.
Yeah. I think it's very raw in that way.
It is. I mean, they didn't double her vocals up for that reason, to try and make it sound like that. I like the contralto thing she does, but I also maybe am just used to it. Like, I remember these songs then, so I would not argue she's a great vocalist in a classic. We have another, well, Gabe's pick, obviously, that classically trained, was it Haysynth or whatever her name is? Holy shit, her voice, this is not that. You picked it. I mean, that's one contrast, is your pick had, I mean, some opera shit is happening on that album, but we'll get to it in a moment. This is not that. She would, but punches.
I mean, I think they're both sort of like, you know, artistic in different ways.
Yes.
You know, like, we'll talk about it later, but like, you know, one is playing with convention and this one is just flying in the face of convention.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
Kristen Hader, that's her name.
Sorry. Kristen Hader. Yeah.
Yeah. Christian,
but like I said, I was really impressed with the lyric writing on this. If I wasn't always impressed with like either the compositions or the sounds, or particularly the vocal performances, but like I said, it sort of grew on me a little bit.
The thing that I like as far as the vocal performance goes, as the guy who usually bags the most on vocals, is the fact that you can clearly understand everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. It's not punk in that sense where it's like, you know, garbled or, you know, just like slurry, especially Jennifer's body. I just got so tired of that.
We should add some toilet vocals in here. That's what really takes us to the next level.
It would take it up three notches.
Just two mold the shit. Two mold and Courtney Love combined.
The real collapse of the universe. Tomb
love.
Love mold.
Yeah, love mold or tomb love. I'll take love mold.
I think
amazing.
I think tomb love. I think that's the better one to go with.
Tomb love. Depends on who demands first billing, probably. Yeah.
This is my first introduction. I'd never heard anything by her. So like she was always, to me, kind of, like I said earlier, known as like Kurt Cobain's wife more than as Courtney Love as a person. Which
neat.
Is a horrible way to think of things, but that's
the sure, she would enjoy hearing to, that.
Yeah, it's a horrible fucking way to think of it. But this is actually, I think for me, a very listenable album. Like it did not take a lot to get into it, and it's very catchy along the way. And I feel like they are able to do a lot with very little in the sense of like song composition and instrumentation. Like it's not the Tracy special of, hey, it's Will to Run, let's go have some fun.
More is more.
It is very much in the other vein of like
French horns and shit.
How much less can we take of this and still make coherent sense with it? And they don't get real crazy. And I think that's just was very nice to kind of come and listen to. I was actually really surprised by how much I enjoy this album compared to like what my conceptions coming into it was, because I didn't know what to expect. So I almost expected like converge levels of like, what the fuck is going on here sometimes? Like kind of like just
no, she's not Yoko Ono.
Yeah. Like I was just like,
who I respect enormously, but her music is like, what's happening right now?
So like it was a nice, enjoyable kind of come in and listen to. And sure. I kind of feel like the what the fuck level increased as we listened to for this week of like, just kind of like what the hell is going on as each album kind of played through.
Hell yes.
Which was a nice, it's a good crescendo to work into.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have marched onward if Gabe's Patience is the first one I listened to. Like you gotta ease into that.
You like the rise up, not the come down part of it.
I don't know. All these albums were difficult and good in their own way, I guess. Song? Is that where we're at with this mofo?
I do believe so.
I mean, I think this album is underrated and fuck that narrative. And I like most of these songs. What do you think, Ben? Is it all of them or not quite?
It's right at the cusp, man. Because there's a couple of these tracks that I don't think are super great, but it is only a 38 minute album. So
indeed it is.
It's right on that cusp and just take the ride. So, the ride, you know, I do want to shout out that, like, I think that the first six tracks are definitely take the ride. Just burn through those up through Doll Parts. And then when they do Credit in the Straight World and some of the stuff after that, some of that's okay. But I really think that the strength and the anger of the album is more front loaded.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Take the Ride. I do like the beginning probably most, but I think it picks up a little bit again at the end. I think it does drag a tiny bit with Credit in the Straight World is a decent song, with Softest is maybe a least of favorite of the slower songs. But I think That I Would Die and Gutless are like that lead back out, I think, picks up a bit. But again, at 38 minutes, just fucking listen to it. I agree with Tracy. It is fairly sparse compared to the lush instrumentation. And some of the stuff that Tracy in particular gives us, this is not that. And I love that he likes both. But yeah, these songs kick ass.
They both serve their purpose. I'm very much aligned with you guys in this. The first six are fantastic. I actually enjoy the intro to Credit in the Straight World a lot. And I feel like the first 30 seconds is amazing, and the back 2:30 is okay, and Softest is okay. But She Walks on Me, Bill, and the build back up to Rockstar is pretty good. And I think this album is really bookended really well between Violet and Rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to say take the ride necessarily, just because my personal enjoyment does not lie in the entire experience. But I want to shout out just several tracks here. Miss World, Plump, and Asking For It, I think are really great. Credit in the Straight World just stands out like a sore thumb because it's just so pop, and this is like an anti-pop record. So I liked Softer Softest, Gutless, and also the closer Rockstar. That's like a real punk moment. I really enjoy that sort of piece of the punk sensibility on here. So yeah,
good chaos.
Yeah, so that brings us to David's pick, which is God Mode, the eighth studio album by In This Moment. It was released October 27th of 2023 on BMG. 39 minutes and 1 second is the runtime. Hayne Cherko and Tyler Bates were in the production chair, and the band is Maria Brink on lead vocals and piano, Chris Holworth on lead guitars, backing vocals and programming, Randy Wetzel on rhythm guitars and backing vocals, Travis Johnson on bass and backing vocals, and Kent Dimmel on drums, with special guest vocalist Spencer Charnas on the eighth track from Einstein Kills on Damaged. David, why'd you pick this?
I picked this album because it fucking kicks ass. I think it was in my top five for last year. I did not know this band or Maria Brink's until I think it was just Apple. This is shit you might like. And I was like, what is this? I'd never heard of this band. And I listened to God Mode. I was like, this is amazing. Like, for the first time I heard it, there's several of these songs I listened to over and over and over. So this was sort of an instant favorite. And then I started working backward into the catalog. Like, Blood is pretty fucking good. I was just listening to that yesterday or the day before. That album, which is maybe sort of the one they're maybe famous for, and Black Widow is pretty good too. Anyway, this band was new to me, but I fucking love this album, and she absolutely is going to cut your fucking dick off. I showed you all that video, Church That Burns Down, where briefly I was asked, was this metalcore? And I was like, yes, no, no, yes. And I don't know what conclusion we came to.
It is metalcore.
Sure. I think she and they are pulling from a variety of places. I mean, it does. This album in particular strikes me as new metal, which I'm for, as you know.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a few of these, like Vexed is kind of like that. This is like that. But I liked new metal the first time and love this industrial shit. I'm a little worried what Tracy's going to say. We'll see. I know this isn't always his thing. I guess it's not quite as much of, like, you know, Al Jorgensen in a ditch with a megaphone talking to a centipede or whatever the fuck is happening. So I know your problem with industrial isn't necessarily the instrumentation, but some of the drills are happening for no reason. I see the face you're making. Don't worry, your mystery blast is coming.
It's funny because this is not my first album that I've heard by these guys.
Was it 2018, Tracy?
No, it was Blood. Oh. I found Blood. I found their the album song off of that, and I enjoy that album quite a bit.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think I had Hay listen to it. It's one of her favorite albums.
Oh shit!
Yeah, she loves In This Moment.
I'm gonna lean into that hard next time she's standing at that door wanting to kill us all.
That's what Sam, I'm not surprised about that. I'm really not surprised to hear that.
Yeah. There's no surprise there. If you know Haley, there's no surprise there. But it was a solid overall, like, performance, but I do think it's a little weaker than Blood was. But I think also Blood is much more heavier in aspects.
I guess it is in some ways. Blood, this is pretty fucking heavy, but yes.
Blood leads more to, I think Blood is much more metalcore-y in their sound and kind of what they go with. And I got to look at the lineup, because I think there's been some lineup changes, and by this point in time in their career, this Maria Brink is the show, in a sense, similar to how, what's her name from Evanescence? Amy Lee is the key. And I think prior to a couple albums earlier, is a little more, not as much focused on her in her earlier albums, I guess to say. I'm not trying to make that, like, negatively, but I think there was, like,
a shift. Well, that happens, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes the front women resist it, and it's like Churches has a complicated relationship with that reality. Like, she sort of resents it, and they try to usually get one of them on vocals to, like, anyway. It's a fucked up problem. But yes, I think she's gotten more prominent with time, but she's also a massive badass. So, and has been, this is also to some degree the front person problem, right? I mean, it's not just,
and there's a lot of bands, this happens.
There's
a queef post Blood of, like, half the band left.
Yeah.
And then Chris has been in the band the entire time as her. And so I think that's where you kind of see, like, the switch in styles is a better way I would say it, because the industrial aspects of this is also a little less than I would kind of enjoy. Well, that was much more Fear Factory-ish, I think, is a better, like, comp, or it's less new metal, more metalcore.
I could see that. I would argue this is pretty fucking heavy, but I mean, it's all relative. It's not blackened death metal, so it's certainly
relative. But this, what you guys are saying, are making me want to go back to Blood, because for me, I think that if it is metalcore, right, it's on the auto-tuney side of metalcore and the electronic-y side of metalcore, and I'm really not here for that. Like, most of the time, I appreciated that video we watched together of The Purge. It made me interested, at least. It's also not, like, speedy at all. It's very kind of down-tempo and doesn't really, for me, like, the breakdowns aren't really there because it's too slow. Like, it's just too slow to actually have a breakdown.
Like, you can't break down if you haven't broken up. Yeah,
if you're broken, you can't break down.
That's fair.
But it does strike me as rather close to Evanescence. Like, it's really, really close to that.
Which I also liked at the time, so yeah.
I love that ginger juice. Like, give me ginger juice in the metalcore aspect, you know what I mean?
I think her vocals are a little more angry than Amy's Lee's are at the time. Depending on the song.
Most of them.
Yeah. Sure, they're angrier. Yeah, and of course, maybe, I don't know, Evanescence's catalog, so maybe the subject matter is angrier too. I don't really know.
I think it is. I mean, she's not. I just listened to "Call Me When You're Sober" yesterday.
Yeah, so I was about to say
she ain't pleased either.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's angry on that song, but it's like a different kind of angry. To me, this sounded like an album that would be playing in a East European discotheque in a vampire movie.
You're damn right, and that's why I like it. I want Wesley Snipes to kill me and those fucking Hungarians. That's right. What I want.
And it's certainly not bad. I did find it a bit commercial, like verging on butt metal just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But I like her voice quite a bit, and she has a really good growl. I'm sure she's channeling anger, but she can at least sound angry whether she is or not in a way that, like, not everybody can, you know. And I thought that this just falls into the spot where, I don't want to jump to trash, but my favorite track on the album is the cover. And if that's the case, that's generally not the best sign. So I thought that the songwriting was a little weak because of that. But I like what they did with that cover, and we'll talk about that here shortly. But this falls into that category where, at this point in their career, this band is checking all the boxes, and it sounds good, but it's not necessarily, like, pushing anything forward.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't argue that necessarily. Do we even have any new ideas at this point? But yes.
Sure.
They're pushing the auto-tune forward.
Can you auto-tune music? I mean, I guess. Auto-tune is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
I listen to so much pop that the glossiness that is on top of this heaviness to me is like, yeah. But I mean, I also like Evanescence, so what the fuck do I know? Me and Haley are just bitches.
The glossiness is the sweet tasting cyanide peeled. That's what it is.
Yes. Well, we haven't done any nightclub, which I inflicted on Ben. Band or 11. Me too.
They just had a new album drop and I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, you should not have said that, but did. Anyway, why am I looking it up now? Maybe because I've been waiting for that. Anyway, maybe it's, well, I don't know. I like pop, so whatever. And I like this. I'm not going to apologize.
I'm not saying I dislike it. I'm just saying that, like, you know, it didn't. It's right in that arch enemy zone.
Sure.
Tree X.
You can do Tree X.
I can go first.
Go for it.
So I think The Purge is really good. I like the cover Army of Me. I thought Skyburner was okay. I liked Sanctify Me and Fatebringer.
I like a lot of these songs. I'm not going to say necessarily all of them. God, I fucking love God Mode. That opener. I mean, that's a song. I listen to that shit over and over and over. And maybe I have specific reasons I like that song so much we don't have to get into. Burn It All Down. I love The Purge, and the video helped. I like that cover a lot too, and I've heard a lot of covers of that song. This is a pretty good one. Yeah, there's multiple. Like, there's the one on Sucker Punch. There's... that's one I heard in German. I've heard multiple covers of it. This one I think is pretty good. I like Sacrifice a lot. Sanctify Me, which I did, is the most new metal-y of the new metal songs on here. Just the riff in that, but I'm here for it. I think Damage is pretty good. The Closure's all right. But yeah, that sort of run from 1 to 6, which is, you know, 60% of the album, is, I think, quite strong. And I am a whore for this, but what can I say?
So my experience with this album went like this. That's a pretty damn good opener. Purge, that's cool as fuck. Army Meat, holy shit, that's awesome. And then like the rest of the album happened and it came back to earth.
That's right.
I had a similar experience to Ben, but not quite as bad. But God Mode opens well, and The Purge is pretty good. And Army Me, I didn't know it was a cover at the time, but it is a pretty damn good song. I actually enjoy Sacrifice a bit, but I feel like the album kind of starts to get in a little okay territory with Skyburner and On. I am not that big of a fan of the Ice Nine Kill song, but I'm also not a big fan of Ice Nine Kills as well, so...
All right. Well, that brings us to Tracy's pick, which is a last-minute substitution.
It was a very last-minute substitution. I feel like this one sets a little bit better than what the one I had there was, like lyrically and content-wise. It's not as heavy as that album is, but I think while the other one was a female vocalist leading it as well, I think it was a little more male singer-songwriter-driven in a sense.
Well, the world may never know. But this is Blood Moon 1, the 10th studio album by Converge, collaborating with Chelsea Wolfe. It was released on November 19th, 2021. I will add here parenthetically that this is the epitome of a, and we talk about this quite often, but this is a pandemic album. Runtime of 58 minutes and 42 seconds, released on Epitaph Death Wish. Producers, Kurt Ballou, Jacob Bannon, Stephen Bodke, Ben Chisholm, and Chelsea Wolfe. Personnel on this album: Kurt Ballou, guitars, bass, backing vocals, production; Jacob Bannon, vocals, bass, production, engineering; Ben Kohler, drums, percussion; Nate Newton, bass guitar, backing vocals; Chelsea Wolfe, vocals, guitars, production, and engineering; Ben Chisholm, synthesizer, piano, electronics, bass, production, and engineering; and then Stephen Brodsky also laid down some bass and guitar and additional vocal.
I feel the vibes on this are more Sad in the Forest and Wiccan than Big Dick Cutoff Energy. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I'm not going to say they're not pissed. Well, Converge is Converge. And I like Chelsea Wolfe. This was, I don't know her super well, but this was, I wish she were always in this band.
Yeah,
in fact, I think she's underutilized even on this album, by the way. I wish, and I know part of it is they were sending shit back and forth as data packets, or I don't even know how, you know. Some of this pandemic shit, I don't know how much actual in-person recording they did, and I don't know the story. It looks, sounds like Tracy may know how it got made, but anyway, it was still interesting to listen to, and I was curious after what you said about it last week. Was that last week?
Yeah. You're a little right, like, as I, like, because I just did a quick skim through as we were talking about Converge last week, like, lyrics look a little more chopped off dick than what the other one was, but, like, as I was listening to it, I was like, okay, this is a little more Wiccan, but Chelsea Wolfe on her own has some very big Dick Cutoff Energy vibes.
Yes. I noticed that reading. And so I was like, oh.
And I think also of an all male band, Converge is pretty big Dick Cutoff Energy as well to them. So I feel like I was like, this is a good kind of combination to run with in there. From my, what I understand, this was like they were on tour together doing something. And then they did a couple of like off, not actual tour dates of like a random city of like acoustic sets of Converge songs with her singing. And they're like, hey, this is fun. Let's try this.
Would like
and
to hear so, that more than Converge, what you just described.
So they ended up doing that. And then they're like, hey, let's actually run a movie with it. So
this album is
in 2016 when they did that, little kind of performance together and like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they were sitting at home like, hey, what if we try this? Just kind of make it work.
Sure.
Supposedly a Blood Moon 2 is coming out now. I don't know whether Chelsea Wolfe will also be on that.
I think she will be, because I think that's kind of like the thing. I think they also released an EP a couple of years ago with them two in there as well.
I wish she were in the band all the time, and I wish she sang more on this album.
I would agree with that. This gave me some strong like Perkta vibes, but like not Whispering in the Woods. So it's more of a spooky, scary thing.
That's what I said. Sad in the Woods. Yeah.
Scary. Yeah.
Boys
Which
becoming
I
men.
Am here for. But yeah, this was like, oh, wow, Converge is doing a Doom album. It's like anybody can do a Doom album. Perhaps not everybody should, but this actually turned out a lot better than I thought it was going to.
I like it more than most Converge.
Me too.
That's a win.
I feel like with you two, that's not a very high bar to clear.
It's not. I mean, still. I will say that like it's long, man. It does bog down quite a bit.
It does.
Yeah. little bit.
It's a bit long. I agree with that too, because I was kind of into it. There's some songs I like, but after about 50 minutes, I don't know. I think a little bit of editing would. And I don't. I'm actually usually not team make it shorter, but this dragged a little bit, I think. And again, I wanted more of her to happen. There was a little bit of the clean singing, which again I said when we reviewed the Four Converge albums, I wish happened more. Mm-hmm. I'm the way Ben feels about the Ocean Collective. Like, this vocalist is actively making this band worse. Like, not just neutral, but anyway. The soundscapes on here, I think Peric does an interesting comparison. I liked the textures. And again, I was sad in the forest or whatever is happening to me in the forest. What did you say is happening in the forest? Something else. Spooky in the forest.
Whispering in the forest.
Whispering in the forest. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're making a fucking Blair Witch Project 3 or something.
The final reckoning.
Don't give them no ideas.
Mm. Still witching.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting to hear have both singers kind of like harmonize at moments on this album, though, which is kind of interesting layer.
They should have done it more.
Anything
she could help them. Tracy, she could help them.
I know.
Anyway, what's big hardcore I have to say about the situation? I'm curious what your paymasters in Boston have said you have to say about
sellouts. That's
what was done. What was done to Converge? What have you done? Yeah,
they want their money back that they invested in Converge. Exactly. they're gonna come to them with, like, you know. Anyway,
it's like Dito after Sonny's death. Look what they did to my beautiful boy.
Ruined a national treasure.
Exactly. So I wasn't really sure what to expect with this. It was very slow to start and hold my interest, but once the train of the album gets rolling, it just really rides. I think that given that this is Converge, it's interesting and good that the album is stylistically diverse. Like, it is, yeah, like melodic doom, but that's not what they're doing the entire time. So that's good. I think that that Chelsea Wolfe's vocals are very complementary to the whole operation and to the kind of atmosphere that they're trying to create, whatever, maybe it's Whispers in the Forest, but who cares? What I am a little bit sad about is that it doesn't kind of scratch the same itch as Faytooth did for me, which is another sort of like, sure. It's just an awesome sort of like,
yeah, I love
doom
that
kind of vibe. I still think it's pretty satisfying. The problem is that it is slow and long. There are some moments that are just really static. Doesn't seem to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's not great. But then there are a lot of moments that I really dig quite a bit. Even some of like the softer bits on this are really, really nice. Where I think I had complaints also are like where it feels that the atmosphere is kind of artificial, like artificially created rather than kind of organically out of the music. Not to call out anything, but like basically the way that the album opens has some of that. It's like, blah, you know, you don't need to do that kind of shit. If you want to create drama, you don't need to put strings on top of it. You just got to write it correctly. So, but yeah, I was very surprised in a pleasant way.
It's about what I expected from you. Like in terms of how y'all felt about it. Cause it's not quite Converge. It's not quite Chelsea Wolfe. It's somewhere in between. And I think it does good, but I mean, your mileage definitely will vary with this album.
It's an album. I can tell you that.
I'd say don't come in expecting Converge. I mean, that's just what you have to do.
Yes.
And don't expect Chelsea Wolfe either. Like, you get her vocals, but her sound, like as a solo artist, is very different, much more industrial than what you get with Converge with this album.
That sounds promising.
Have you not listened to her some of her solo stuff?
No, I didn't know her until this.
Oh, I thought you said you knew her prior to this. No.
No,
it's much more in this moment.
I read about her and I like looked stuff up and I hadn't, man, this week was rushed. I will admit I had to burn through some of this shit today. Like listen to some of these albums a couple times. It was hurried. So no, I didn't go on any tangents, but I'm super curious now.
She released the album this year. So if you
want. All right. I'm going to look at it. Tight party.
Yes, I mean stretch.
I would say so. Yeah.
And I'm the one that subjected everybody to this. I am much a take the ride person for this album as well. I just enjoy it overall.
Well, I'm not going to say take the ride. It is too long. But there are quite a few tracks that I enjoyed. It is a little overwrought, but I thought Blood Moon was an okay opener. It kind of set the mood for the album. I liked Viscera of Man, Flower Moon, Lord of Liars, Scorpion Sting. And that was the majority of the ones that I really enjoyed.
I'm going to say take the ride, even though it is on the long side. My favorite run is tracks 3 to 9. So Coil, Flower Moon, Tongues Playing Dead, Lord of Liars, Scorpion Sting. Holy God, that's so good. And Damon. It's a vibe. I'd do it.
It's a vibe. I don't have a lot to add. As I said, I think it drags a little bit. I wish we were a little shorter, but I thought Blood Moon was an okay opener. It does start a little bit slow, but Visceral of Men's good. Coil's good. I like Flower Moon. All right. I thought Failure Forever was pretty good. I don't know what I would cut exactly, but anyway, I do wish it were a hair faster, maybe, and there was more Chelsea Wolf. But ultimately, there was. I would much rather listen to this than Converge, for what that's worth, Tracy. It's just what. Right. Yeah, no contest. This I would just put on, you know, at a dinner party, as we often discuss.
Totally.
The perfect dinner party of all time.
This is a dinner party album.
The best dinner party album of all time is the next one, though.
Yeah.
All Bitches Die. By Lingua Ignata. It was released on June 7th, 2017. Lingua Ignata is, I think it was self-released. I don't see any.
Sure.
Yeah, it was re-released in 2019 on Profound Lore.
Okay, that makes sense. I don't have the runtime for it, so I guess I can pull that back up, though.
It's 43 minutes.
43 minutes.
So there's an extra track on Spotify, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, which I didn't really understand.
Yeah, I think that like when they re-released it, they added that Holy is the Name.
Oops. Oh, Holy is the Name is on the Apple one, too.
Okay. Well, then what is the other one then? There's five tracks on Spotify.
Oh, there's five tracks on Apple.
God Gave Me No Name.
It's on Apple.
That is the extra. Well, oh. Looking at the original release on
I see
Bandcamp. And so that is the one.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, the Apple has that edition as well.
Yeah, and as previously mentioned, Lingua Ignata is
Christian Hader.
Christian Hader, and she did everything on this.
She did every single thing that could be done. That happens here. My dick fell off, Gabe, when I listened to this. She didn't even need shears. Holy yes. Shit.
And for the record, those of you who don't know Latin, which is probably the majority of you listening, that name that she took for this is unknown language in Latin.
Yeah, yeah. Gabe, why? It meets the assignment, absolutely. But
100%.
So nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. But what's your journey with this artist?
I think I'd heard of Lingua Ignota before, but I never really was pushed to kind of check it out until actually quite recently, because we reviewed that new Oxbow record.
Yeah, sure.
And she guested on one of those tracks. And I was just like, you know what? This is a really, really cool track that she did. I'm going to see what this is about. And I listened to a couple of different things. This was one of them. And I was just like, wow. Just wow.
Just oh my gosh. Wow. Indeed. All my rapists lie dead around me. I mean, that's.
Yeah. I mean, I also did I read, you know, about her on the internet, and I, you know, came across her newest album where like she dropped the Lingua Ignota name. She's not doing anything with it anymore. It's finished. And I was like, wow, that's really weird. And she's recording as Reverend Kristen Hader. And that was really interesting. And just the combination of styles really got to me. Like I was just fascinated by, you know, some of the crossover with stuff that we've done, like Zeal and Ardor, where yes. You have black metal and gospel on top of each other, essentially. And yes. Not just that, but just the noise, the industrial stuff, the classical voice, as well as the harsh vocals. Like, it's just, it seemed really, really like a whole artistic vision. And I wanted to kind of delve a little bit deeper, spend a little bit more time with it, and make you all suffer through it as well.
My friend Adam.
Go ahead, dude.
I was just saying, my dear friend Adam makes music a lot like this. Slightly different energy, but in terms of the number of elements going on, 15-minute compositions, I mean, this is not background music, as he would say. This is foreground music, like this, in the same way, like the Pirate Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, it has that vibe, yeah. Right? Like, you can't just, like, passively listen to it. That's what it reminded me of, that, you know, the live, very famous live recording of it.
And I guess I should also mention, like, the reason why I picked it is because, you know, I interpreted your title, David, mm-hmm. as speaking directly to what Hader uses as inspiration. So she's yes. a survivor of domestic yeah. violence.
Yes.
And writes about, or writes what she calls survivor anthems, has taken up this theme of victim violence. So victims of this kind of violence who then perpetrate acts of violence, and just really channels that rage, that really raw emotion, the but at the same time infusing with this, like, this idea of divine retribution, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, it has that old time religion feel to it for sure. And to that point that you were making, Gabe, there's actually a little bit of a Guardian piece that was written about this that I want to read by Maya Kalev, published back in 2019. Hater is a survivor of abuse who calls her hybrid of folk, spiritual, and industrial metal survivor anthem. 2 years ago, the San Diego-based musician self-released an album called All Bitches Die. It's an emotional rawness, all anguish of howling and spitting fury, paired with moments of melodic beauty, give it an extraordinary power. As she says, extreme music is overdue, a reckoning with misogyny and violence. Hater says one of her abusers was a very powerful noise musician in the Providence community, making her use of heavy music as a tool for catharsis even more remarkable. Quote, a lot of my work comes out of extreme music and heavy music that is a misogynist context. She says, I'm trying to recontextualize that phylocentric format for people who need it, end quote. And the last thing that I will read is, Hater considers her success a rebuke to her abusers, especially because, quote, bad people are inescapable in extreme music circles. I was lucky to be welcomed into the scene by the avant metal band The Body, because they don't surround themselves mostly with good people and are always like, don't play with this person, they suck. I just played a metal fest in Denmark and I was frantically Googling all the bands on the line, and because you don't know, it's such a minefield, end quote. And that's something that we have grappled with, not like to the extent of somebody who is a survivor of assault by these people, but just the fact that this music genre that we love is so filled with problematic people.
Yes. Unfortunately, I fear they all are, but yes.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, the problematic part of it was like almost a prerequisite, a reason to get in the business, you know, like the problems that like we're looking at now, it's like, this is fucked. And at the time in the 80s, I was like, hey, that's a benefit.
You mean like Motley Crue?
Motley Crue, whoever said more, whoever did more, more, more in White Wedding. Like he simply stated, I got in the business for this fucking reason.
Well, Led Zeppelin. I mean, just Google any of them. Elvis fucking Presley. I mean, you know.
Oh, Elvis is a catastrophe.
Right.
So I hate it. Yes, it's makes me want to die. She is not a fan of that, I would say. Not endorse the Reverend Hater does not endorse that. And I don't know, axe, gun, there's so many things that happen on here, so many ways divine retribution can come to you sometimes in the same song.
Yeah, God told me to shoot to kill.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, if you're gonna do it.
And like, I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, but and I don't remember which track it was specifically. I think it might have been the last one, but it seemed like there was like excerpts of Evelyn Wuornos's testimony used. And maybe not, but it sounded very close to that. Anyway, I liked this quite a bit. I mean, this kind of fucking fits right in the fucking Venn diagram overlap. Oh, it's not exactly sludge, but it's sludgy. Yeah, it's dealing with real world violence. Oh, God.
What's your Japanese band?
I don't even remember.
Church of Mystery.
Yeah, thank you. Church of Mystery. I was thinking of Venomous Concepts.
Honestly. Oh, yeah.
So, you know. I am here for this John Brown righteous anger in music form.
So this is a weird for me coming into it, kind of when I've been a gay pick, it was kind of interesting coming into it because of hearing this, a lot of instrumentation is vocal instrumentation as well, just kind of way she carries her voice and the way it goes through. And everything I think instrumentation wise besides her voice and sound is very in the background. Like her voice is what you come to this for. And what you hear to listen to. And so it's very different, like seeing a gay pick and then coming in the disc, like, okay. Cause it reminded me a lot of Jamie Chavez, is that his name? The one you had us do that.
Jamie Soft.
So, yes.
Mr. The
Shomer Chavez.
Yeah. Like it reminded me a lot of his work and just kind of like how you really need to do some, cause just hearing this, how I listen to music, because I don't ever do any research, is like, okay, this is all right, but you have to actually dig into this and kind of look at everything and piece it together to kind of really get everything that's being emoted and what she's saying in here. And like talking about it leads, creates, and embraces how this album is viewed and how it is, as opposed to just kind of like passively listening to it. This is not a passive,
no,
like you guys said.
It's like the Nina Simone. Pirate Jenny. No, you can't just like listen to it in a taxi and drive on. Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah. And so like it's a very different album than how I listen to most music. And so that's kind of so it's kind of like, all right, with you guys talking about it and everything, it's okay, this album makes more sense in context and it makes like the understanding is there for it now.
I think this is what my mother's mind sounded like a lot of the time as she endured assault and all kinds of other insane shit over the arc of her life. And this album got to me. I mean, not surprisingly. Oh, I mean, you weep at some points in terms of just a sense of helplessness that it's like this for so many people. I mean, untold hundreds of millions. I mean, it's the whole fucking society. Ugh, I didn't mean to get into this, but it's... This was an existential scream from like all of womankind that struck a chord with me. And I mean, I'm the one who gave the assignment, so this is not a lament, but I may not go to this again soon. Like, I honor it and think it's important and will listen to it at some point, but I'm going to need a minute, I think.
That's fair. I mean, it really just command your attention, and it's not easy listening by any stretch.
It's good,
but it's not intended to be. So
about to say,
it's not at all. No, it had the desired effect on me. That's
And I think also, you know, as we were talking about like Hole and this, and in a certain way, you know, the abrasiveness of Courtney Love's voice, Courtney Love of Hole, the way that the music here and Courtney Love's voice there, they have kind of the same effect, which is like, you know, they're confronting you with something that's not necessarily beautiful at all. And making you look it straight in the face. And it is for that reason that I think, you know, both are pretty valuable.
Facts.
I feel like this is a take the ride kind of moment. You're not really going to pull one off of this album, right? Like, it's kind of take the ride.
I think
there is not a, there's not an option B on this. Just take the fucking ride.
I would say all of them.
Yeah. If you can't handle it, get off. It's not going to get better for you as the album goes on. Like, I feel, yes, I think this is a none or all. Then I vote all.
Well, that brings us to the time on Sprockets when we grade.
Stimmt.
All right, gentlemen. Hole will live through this.
Benjamin.
A minus. That's a slight legacy bump. And I don't, even though I did buy this album at the time, I don't think I liked it as much then, but I am thankfully not the same person I was then. And there's a lot of this that I didn't get, and I'm not going to claim that I get all of it now, but I understand a hell of a lot more now than I did then.
I had it then and would buy it again, not to anticipate Tracy's question later. I like this even more now. I'm going to come up, not a ton, but I'm going to come up to a 93. And some of that's legacy. Some of that maybe is me pushing back against the narrative about her and this album, but I'm going to give this the first A. I think it's important and good, and I enjoyed it. Or, well, enjoyed maybe isn't quite the word I would use, but needed it, asked for it, and got it. So
I'm going to come down a little bit from you guys. I enjoyed this album a little bit. I was kind of surprised, kind of going to change my expectation of what to expect of Courtney Love, considering I had a very forward narrative coming into this that I didn't go through like you guys did. We'll give this a B.
Yeah. I would say this album is not really my thing, but I'm going to do something I don't normally do, which is give this a legacy bump. I think this is important, and I'm going to give it a B.
All right. I'll take it. What's that put us at, like an 87, Tracy? 88?
89.
89. All right. I did that.
Yeah. So pretty good overall. I would buy this album. I think like all of us would.
Yeah.
Didn't. Sure.
That leads us to in this moment, God mode.
I like this too much, clearly. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna grade way higher than the rest of you, but will admit it's not pathbreaking in any way. So I will still give it I'm gonna get what I call the Gabe scoff. Which it's a combination of a laugh and just bafflement that I'm giving a thing. The greatest science I'm giving to a thing. I'm already seeing his face. I'm going to give this a 92. Don't hit me. That's it. There it is. There it is. He's doing it. He's like, it's like he just hangs up. It's like bewilderment. The dean in his earpiece. The dean's like, I told you to shut this shit down.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about that, David, because guess what? Guess what?
What?
This is going to get a B minus C plus, 79.5 for me, because it's really not for me. Not for me. And I'm also trying to bring your grade down. So
mission accomplished. The dean is like, good. Should have been a 69.
I'm going to give this a C plus.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's solid, well-performed, but like I said, when the best song on your album is a cover of somebody else's song, it's not put well.
An F Holter C plus is an A in my
that's a you walk away with a win on that one. You're right. Yeah, I didn't get shot down.
Like, they're walking away from this bleeding but alive. So
it's just pain.
What do you think, Tracy?
I'm going to come up a little bit from Gabe and Ben. I'm gonna give this an 81, a B minus as well. I like some of the earlier stuff better, but it's still solid to go down overall. Would we buy it? I think David's the only one that would purchase this album.
Yeah, that's right.
We
I'll
know
purchase
stocking stuffers were written this year from
twice.
David.
You're welcome.
Or we've been stocking stuffers last year. David creates a time machine to give us different Christmas
Dude,
presents.
it's always time for this.
That leads me to my pick, Converge and Chelsea Wolfe with Blood Moon 1. I'm gonna give this an 88, a B plus. I enjoy the kind of combination of the two and kind of enjoy the ambiance that they create with it. Ready for that and C minuses that are coming in and just waylaying it.
I'm gonna give this a B minus. I did like it, and it's way better than those Converge stuff, but it needs to be dialed in a little bit. I think with a little, just a little tinkering around with what they're doing, they could really dial this into something that I liked a whole lot. B minus, which is pretty solid for what is essentially the first effort.
I'm actually pretty surprised that I like this as much as I did. It's certainly not Converge, but it wasn't a bad experience in the slightest. I'm gonna give this a B plus.
I'm trying to decide between an 82 and an 83. I'm going to give it an 82.5. I'm going to split the difference because it's sort of right on the cusp of a B. I think it would be a B for me, not to talk about what it didn't do, if we're, again, maybe dialed in a little and maybe edited a tiny bit. I mean, it sort of drags a little bit, but ultimately, I like the sounds. I like it more than most Converge. So I'm going to give this an 82.5.
That gives it a 85 average. I'd buy this album.
I'd go to Tracy's house and listen to it.
Yeah, I might would. We'll see if Blood Moon 2, if it follows the same formula, if it's good, then I might would probably buy this.
All right. That leads us for Gabe's pick. Winko Ignata or Kristen Hayter. All bitches die.
So I'm going to start us off high. Look it up in a dictionary. This is art. It's a 95.
I'm going to take us higher, like the Scott Stapp person that I am, and give it a 98. It's an A plus.
Nice.
So, not gonna lie, I fully came into tonight based on music and what I heard alone to give this album a C because I was
Sure.
not the biggest fan of it. But this, as Gabe said, this is art that this needs to be consumed as a medium with other things and telling the story of it. And you need to read the lyrics. This is not something you need to listen to just to for the sake of listening to. Like, this is a existential scream at just life as a woman and for most females. And so this is going to get a high B plus an 89 for me.
I don't even know how to grade this. I think based on its importance and the argument on art, I'm going to give it an A too. And it's not that I'm arguing it should be lower. I just don't. It's hard. Anyway, I'm going to give this an A. This is what I'm going to do. A for art, and this is important. So, and good, and also devastating.
It gives us an average of 94.
Right on. And I would buy it, seal it in a vault, and give it a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's something I would spend a lot, but I would also buy it.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
I will not be playing this at my next dinner party. Well, I guess it depends on the dinner party.
I could certainly think of some audiences that I would play it
Oh, me too. I already shared it with some people.
for. I'm
So
sure.
it's making the rounds.
Yeah.
I was shooketh by it.
I gotta
Again,
buy
I
it as
asked
well.
for it. Ugh. Speaking of buying things, which is a terrible segue, what's our next grab bag? That's not even a segue. I'm just using words. Anyway, what is happening next?
Our next grab bag is the one that I've created, and probably the most difficult instructions for a grab bag we've
Oh my
had,
God.
because it's a
The overly
three-parter.
complex.
No, it's not over complex. I mean, most of the albums on David has mapped out the year. David's is
Okay.
fairly simple considering the choice he's picked. And it is called Frenemies. And the way I describe it is you pick a band that released an album, and then the next album we're picking for my next grab bag for the year, you pick a follow-up album that was released by members, any kind of percentage members of that band after post-breakup, reunification, and then the third album of a similar way. So it's like 6 degrees of separation of like how are these bands tied together. So like a perfect example would be two Entombed albums, Entombed AD, Sepultura, Sepultura, Soulfly, like of some similar site. And so it's simple whenever I walk y'all through it. Like, we got gays figured out and we got bands figured out.
I will add parenthetically, dear listeners, that it was like these have to be bands that like used to have members in them. Oh, okay, cool. So it's like 6 degrees of separation. No, they also have to not like each other.
Well, they don't. Which he left out.
That was in the original instructions.
Yeah.
Hence the term frenemies.
But you normally, if there's a split of some way or line, I specifically designed this around the band Obscura, and for two albums, and Obsidious, because Obscura, the album I picked, all four members on this album are there. The next album Obscura releases, all but one have left the band. And then the Obsidious shit. Album I pick is the three members that left Obscura, yeah, picked up a guitarist and a vocalist, and they released their own album. So like that's what that is the trek I am.
But did they dislike each other?
I'm assuming so, because if you look at the Obscura like band list members, it is very heavy turnover. It's almost Megadeth level.
You mean Metallica kicks Dave Mustaine out of Megadeth? Well, that sounds like a thing that will happen to us.
It will. And it'll be fine.
It will be fun. Finally fun.
You're going to hear next time on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Dick chopping bacaw.
What is that? A kessera or whatever? The stone beaver.
Damn right it is.
Chop, chop, chop. Choppy chop.
Doesn't seem to go anywhere.
It is too long.
It is much more heavier in aspects.
I'm going to see what this is about.
Dick's got cut off. My dick fell off.